everyone, and happy new year. The new year is coming. For me, it's going to be in about 5 hours from now. Yeah, we are switching to 2024. People, Qubit is saying this time next year, the US will be at war with Iran. Yeah, there has to be major military escalation coming. I don't know if it's Iran, maybe. It's a very good target. I think you are right on target. It could be Iran, or it could be some proxy, more minor war, but there will be tension because I think that Biden finds himself in a non-reelectable position if he's not into military invasion. Like his predecessors, they have always ensured that they were getting reelected by making a case that there has to be some war realization that they must do first. Usferia says, my 401k is mostly invested in BlackRock funds. Okay. Stephen Robinson predicting Hex at $5. Oh, God. I believe that Sir Doge of the Coin has a very good illustration of what's coming for 2024. God, after humans somehow survived 2023, God was taking 2023 relax, and now he's going to step up his game. He's going to be more serious about it. I expect that, yes, 2024 will be a year to remember. And that's why tonight I'm taking the time to make my predictions of the year, as I've done in the past years sometimes. What can we see happening on the side of the Ukraine war, on the side of Israel, on the side of Iran, on the side of American electoral politics, and on the economy? All of this is fascinating, and this poor guy... There's a guy who spends the whole year just tweeting progress report on the year, and it has a progress bar, and it's like 20% complete, 15% complete, 95% complete. And if you look at his tweets, no one gives a shit. Well, okay, he's got some good numbers. I thought that he had lower numbers. But it's like not super important when it's 81% complete. But now that he's crossing the Happy New Year at 2024 is 0% complete, I'm going to retweet this. Now, this tweet should get popular. Amazing that there are these bot posters on the internet. Stephen Robinson says, will Julian Assange be free in 2024? Unfortunately, there's not much allies on the side of Julian Assange. Both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party seem to be against his liberation. Even Trump didn't use his pardon power the first time to free him. So I would say the chances are extremely low that Julian Assange would be pardoned in 2024, even if Trump was reelected, they are still low, because Trump somehow is not the candidate of chaos that we would have wanted him to be. That's really too bad. I'm sneezing. I commented, and this is what I love about Elon Musk's Twitter: just a banal commentary on a bunch of black people processing the fact that a plane has just crashed in their neighborhood. It deserved 1 million views to my tweet. Now, this is the kind of exposure I like. This is what I love about the internet. The early internet, you could win. You could win exposure by not much work. And Elon has brought it back, because for many years, I've been deprived of having any of my tweets go above 100K. But here I'm regularly doing in the million views, and it's just Elon has restored Twitter as it stood before they censored me. But I was commenting on this video. Imagine you're dying, and the last words you hear on Earth is, "Oh, shit! This one is still moving!" You know, I've often talked about audio pollution, where we cannot get, in ghetto America, we cannot get documentary journalistic evidence because there's always a fucking person yelling into the microphone and wasting the audio track. Like, instead of hearing the events, you have to hear the black woman commenting on the event. We had one more of this, and it's fascinating. I mean, this is where you see the difference between white civilization and black civilization. And the person was commenting, I would have rather crashed on North Sentinel Island. Meaning, don't crash in the hood because you're not going to get much rescue service.
Somebody in that motherfucker?
Somebody in that motherfucker? White people are flying, are coming in boats from the sky once again. Go get Tyrone.
He's still over there? Oh, wait.
What is this yellow thing? Is it one of these slave ships?
Blew out the motherfucker! What the fuck? Is somebody else in there?
Okay, that's a basic concern I appreciate. Is somebody else in there? So look to secure the potential occupants of the vehicle. Check.
I don't think he made it. I don't think he made it. Oh, God. What the fuck? This shit is crazy.
There's a guy. I don't know what's up with this guy. Has he lost a full arm? Has he been twisted? Is he dead? It's very hard to know, but my God. This girl is commenting in full black language here.
Oh, no, oh, my goodness.
I love when black people, they stop a sentence. Oh, no, oh, my goodness. You know the sentence that starts with he? And it's like, oh, there's no word to describe how he is. And so they just say he. Oh, my God, he. Oh, no, he. It's just the beginning of a sentence. He. He is suffering from apparent imminent death. He might need some of your help. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe he's already dead.
Just crazy. I'm gonna call 911. Yes, I'm out there.
Okay, so somebody called 911. There's this other white guy just chilling in the hood. It's not clear if he came from the plane or if he was just a heroin addict just chilling there. Most likely he came from the plane.
Oh!
Oh! It's like, I have no idea. The video is too low quality to determine, is this guy's leg completely ripped off? What is happening here? But the comments of the lady is like, ooh, oh!
He's still moving. Yeah, he's still moving.
Come on, y'all, hurry up for that man to get some help. 716. He's still breathing.
Oh, he's still moving.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, I seen the whole thing.
I thought it was going to run right into my man's house right here.
I thought it was too.
I seen the whole thing. I guess he means that he has been witnessing the crash of the plane.
I seen it when it was. I heard something. I thought we heard something say boom.
Lord Jesus, help this man live. Lord.
Man, I would hate to be dying there and, you know, be cradled into that silent night, the last sleep, and all I hear is, damn! Oh, Jesus! Oh, ah! Oh, he's still moving! Oh!
Lord, thank you, Lord.
Dial 911 on your phone.
You what?
Dial 911 on your phone. This crazy as hell. What the fuck? This is crazy. Stay calling them right now. Hi, where your phone at?
All right, there's not much happening. We don't see other than just filming of the ground.
Broke up. Yeah. I'm scared that bitch gonna go. The phone broke. Tell him over here on monitor.
Okay, she's monitoring. I'll monitor.
I've monitored. Oh, they're coming.
She's on monitor.
Okay, so it took two. This is the point. It took 2 minutes 16 for her to say, "I'll monitor him." You're already monitoring in a way, lady. You are already monitoring. It's just you are monitoring with a cell phone and a video. And 2 minutes later, she's like, "I'll monitor him." Probably meaning I'm gonna go check his pulse. I'm gonna check his breathing. If I have to wait 2 minutes for someone to come check my breathing, I'm certainly dead. The human brain does not survive 2 minutes without oxygen. Saturn Shine says, we're paying for those phones and services. Oh yeah, she was saying that the guy beside, she said, dial 911 on one of your phones. So people have many phones in this neighborhood, it would seem. Anyways, I found that it was a hilarious clip. I don't know what happened with the guy. Do we know? Do any of you guys know on the chat? Have these people survived? I suppose that the guy who seemed okay seems to have a good chance of survival. But the guy close to the plane, I don't know what state he was in. Let's start with what people have been saying about predictions. The world of Mr. X. What's happening now is that Israel has found itself in a war of attrition with forces supported by Iran, Gaza. The objective of eradicating Hamas cannot be achieved over the short term. The ground operation will be scaled down and continue over months, if not longer. Lebanon. Hezbollah continues to launch anti-tank missiles, occasionally accompanied by drone infiltration and heavy rocket fire. The IDF has deployed significant resources to the northern front due to the enormous threat created by Hezbollah's military capabilities. Israeli communities along the northern border remain evacuated, as they have been since the start of the war. West Bank. Israeli forces conduct counter-terror operations on a daily basis. Yemen. At first, the Houthis tried to strike Israel directly by means of missiles and drones, and then they shifted to maritime warfare. Economy. All of the preceding affect the Israeli economy. Reserve units have been activated, keeping people from their jobs. People have been driven from their homes, and resources are diverted to the war effort. Houthi attacks harm commerce dependent on access to the Red Sea. I find this a very good encompassing look at the situation for Israel. So we find ourselves with a very aggressive entry into Gaza at the end of 2023 by Israel, and then a continuation of all of the fronts of war that had been opened forever, basically, with Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, Houthis, perhaps not as much, but they are getting in the fight now. So we have a continuation on certain fronts, but certainly more aggressive on all fronts, and certainly a very quick and spectacular entry into Gaza. But now Israel finds itself in the tough spot of leading a war of attrition against a faceless resistance movement. And I had said at the beginning of this war, this is going to be the big determinant. Is Gaza so small and so can you thoroughly clean Gaza of basically any armed forces and then take over the whole place? Can Israel do this, or will it end in the same way the Afghanistan war ended, where you're fighting an enemy with no name, you're fighting an enemy that can flee constantly if the area is too big? So the only uncertainty I had is Gaza is very small. Technically, an army like the U.S. Army would be capable of clearing out Gaza completely. I mean, carpet bomb, pass it under a fine hairbrush style of military advancement, and America would have no problem clearing out Gaza. But Israel, can it do this? It seemed at first, given the speed of their entry into Gaza and their progression, that they could. It seems that they have had access now to hospitals, tunnels, and places that used to be controlled by Hamas, and so are controlled by the civilian populations of Gaza. So it seemed that they had the momentum to, if they can continue on that momentum, they should be able to win the Gaza war completely and do their colonial project for Gaza. But there are other fronts that are opening, and the question is, can the IDF be tired by the Muslim resistance against them? And on all fronts, and on the front also of public approval, where the more they go into Gaza, the more they continue this campaign, the more it is a campaign that clearly looks like a colonial campaign. They are losing the support of the left in America and the academics in America. They have difficulty controlling Israeli support. They have very good control of Israeli support in the elites of America, but they're losing the public support. So they are kind of left to their own into a war of attrition that I don't see it as impossible that the resistance, even in Gaza, could be successful long term, especially if the IDF gets tired out by all of these other fronts. Silver Spider says, Israel has the most highly trained army on earth, but not the most powerful. Yeah, I agree. And their tactics, sometimes they have high technology and everything, but their tactics and use of that technology seems a step behind in terms of, if you compare to top American interventions and commando and minimalizing of the casualties on the side of the American army, it seems that Israeli army is less efficient than the American one. And one wonders, are they even as efficient as the Russian army? Because the Russian army goes with technology that is, just artillery and war of attrition style. But they win at this. They win at this, and they seem very efficient in Ukraine. And at this point, you have Ukraine. We've seen video today. They're shooting on their own side. We've seen a bunch. There's a bunch in the video. There's a bunch of Ukrainian soldiers. They're withdrawing from their position, but as they withdraw, they receive grenades from their own side and they get shot by their own side. That's what a war of attrition will lead you to do. A war of attrition will lead you to commit a lot of mistakes. So my predictions for Israel in 2024, there will be escalation of the war effort of Israel. It might get directly toward the direction of Iran. There will be a partnership with America, where America is part of the of the escalation, and it will either be a local intervention in and around Israel with expansionary goals towards Syria, or it will be just straight out even longer reach toward Iran. Either either America will support Israel in an expansionist massive war, or America will do it itself with its own personnel. This is my prediction of 2024. It's a very bold prediction. It's very hard from the current situation to see how, why would Biden do this, given that he's starting to have some tension in his own party about violence on the left side. You know, the leftists are not that much into it. But I think he will do it still, because again and again, we've seen elites of politics in the U.S. go against the public opinion that's originally stated and try to do some effort of propaganda to change the public opinion. But what I predict also is that this Biden joining the war effort on Israel will put him in front of a schism in his party that we have not seen for a long time. Of course, it has builded up. You always had opposition to war movements, from the Vietnam War to the modern war, from the hippies to Occupy Wall Street and that kind of protest. But I think it has to get stronger, because there is a point at which the Democrat Party is not able to digest the aggressiveness of the Israeli lobby, and this has to build up into a ultimate schism. I think, though, that we're not at the point where this schism will stop Biden or will stop the professional political staffers that are controlling Biden. And so I think we're going to have some joining in the form of perhaps airstrikes, naval support, and perhaps even ground troop from America for Israel. Dino Legovich says, I predict war fatigue and inflation will topple a few inept government. Phantom of the Odyssey says, unpopular opinion, Trump may not be able to run in the 2024 election. Oh yeah, well, we'll get to this. But I need to go take my allergy pills. I forgot to take them, so give me 30 seconds. All right. So one other question is, will Iran be involved in this war directly as a player, or will they continue operating through proxies and really letting only these proxies facing both Israel and America? It's a good question. I don't have a particular prediction on this. I think it mostly relies on the willingness of Biden to do some massive opposition to the axis of evil, as it has been called by George Bush. It depends. It depends on how much they want to bring Iran in. And if they do, they will find some excuse. They will find they will push Iran to the limit. They will force them to reply in some way. And then they're going to use this as an excuse to justify some sort of neutralization of their military capacities. Hey Dare says, Iran has mostly fought by proxy, at least in my lifetime. Exactly, and that may very well continue. I don't see a sign that 2024 has to include a massive in Iran intervention, but it could. It could. It depends really on Biden and Israel. Because when you look at the continuation of the last few decades of military politics, you see that Israel basically has used America to loosen up potential avenues for expansion and its own security into the Middle East. like the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, the strikes on Syria. All of this is to make the northern front of Israel more comfortable. And Israel must have had a plan forever to neutralize these regions from a distance at least, if not to invade part of these regions. And they have done so with their fight against Syria by taking the Golan Heights eventually. So I believe that we must understand 2024 as it will be the continuation of all this, if not even the culmination. Because where will Israel stop? Will it be satisfied if it takes over Gaza, or will it want to take Syria? Ultimately, there is no limit potentially to the desire for growth and expansion of Israel, because they have been constantly reminding people that, oh, these people around us are dangerous, and we have to strike them in advance to disable their ability to harm. That leads to a lot of enemies having accumulated, and that will show up in 2024 with increased aggression on all sides. Qubit says 2024 is going to be the year where Iran admits it had nukes the entire time. Okay, I don't know. Possible. I think, yes, Iran has been refining uranium. I don't know what's the state of it. Can they have many of these nuclear weapons, and can they deliver them in a way that they don't get intercepted? Those are important questions. John Drake says, Israel is uniting Sunni and Shia, major mistake. Yes, if the entire Muslim world is in opposition to Israel, I don't know that Israel can win again, a ganging against them, a ganking of all of the Arab countries around them. I don't know if they could sustain this. They would brag that they can. They said that's how they won their right to exist. It's by pushing back in the, 6 days or 7 days war. But I don't know if they could handle another wave of this. Here on the side of the Ukraine war, I expect a falling down of any intensity, because I don't think that Ukraine is any more capable of even handling basic frontline resistance. We have a video here, absolutely terrible, where you have a bunch of Ukrainian soldiers. So they are walking back because they are getting attacked by the Russians. But look at this, there's another Ukrainian position here, and these Ukrainians will shoot at these Ukrainians. So they thought they were okay coming back to their side. But these Ukrainians apparently don't know that those guys are on their side, and so they're shooting at them. One of them receives a bullet, boom, he's dead. Now they will start shooting grenades at their own side. Boom, grenade. This one falls, may have been shot, or maybe he's just limping. And look at this, they shoot grenades right in the trench. Or this might be a drone that has sent a bomb, I don't know. In any case, they are getting fucked over by their own forces. And you can see only one succeeds at fleeing, and even this guy will get shot in the back. Look at this. And he shoots a grenade in his back. And boom, I don't know if the grenade ended up hitting him, but he's getting shot at as he's returning. And so, yes, friendly fire is more common than people talk about. It is one of the major sources of death in war. And so when those presidents write to these families of soldiers and it's like, your child was a hero for America, many of the time, he was not a hero at all. He just got shot by someone who was a little more nervous than him. And that shot his own side. That is the situation at war. So as far as Ukraine goes, I expect that there will be a total whistling down of any form of activity in this war. You're going to see some boundaries like this, where there might be some degree of activity, but it's going to be very little advancement, and the boundaries will stabilize to the current domination of territory by Russia. And I predict that Putin will not want at all to expand any more than he has done up to now. I don't see the interest for him, especially in the uncertainty of the election year. I believe that Putin's approach to Ukraine would be dependent on whether he's faced with a Biden administration or a Trump administration, and whether the resistance against Israel in the Israeli region is tiring the American and Israeli armies. American for now, just in the sense of naval forces, but eventually perhaps more. So I believe that Putin will not want to make any massive moves in 2024, although he could, because I think that Ukraine is the weakest it's ever been. It would be basically very easy for Putin to continue advancement at this point, but there's not necessarily an interest for doing it. If Putin wants more advancement, I would expect it to be under a Biden administration that would be reelected. Usferia says, if Trump gets reelected, he will stop pandering to white people and he will go full-blown corporate globalist. That is one of the great fears. So let's see here some of the greatest hits of 2023. Stephen Robinson says, Putin takes Kiev this spring. Yeah, go away. It is still 2023 for me. I still have 5 hours and 4:30 into 2023. And so, yes, absolutely. 2023 greatest hits, the most popular articles of the past year, US bank failures, the Fed Reserves. The Fed Reserves has stopped bleeding. March bank failures mark the end of the Fed Reserve reduction. And so the Fed has started building up in value again. The S&P has risen. BTC has risen. This is arguably the most widely anticipated recession in history. The probability of a recession is evaluated at 44%, the highest it's ever been. And yet, before that recession, we need probably a Fed trying to go inflationary, a Fed trying to boost their Biden boy by inflating the U.S. economy and creating a fluff of money flow into the American economy. And we are due for a BTC bull run. So recession, no matter how high this probability gets, I don't see us falling into a recession before these events happen. And you can have a quick recession scenario, perhaps if Trump joins in, wins the election, and the whole system goes after Trump in the pretty much in the COVID type of pattern. Where they're like, Ah, I'm sneezing. I have my allergies coming back. Where the system could be like, if we can't get America, if America is in the hands of Trump, we're going to ruin America to reduce his power. Which is what they've done in the COVID-19 days. They've neutralized the American economy. They've intentionally self-destroyed. And you could see some of this happening, but it's hard to see it happening as soon as Trump comes into office, because I don't know that people, that the Democrats are so crazy that they want to self-immolate at the beginning. They would probably want to self-immolate at the end of a Trump regime so that they can ensure that they win the next election, the same way they did with COVID. So this is another important aspect of predictions. 2024 will be the year of Trump. I'm not certain that Trump will win. Not super certain. But I think he has a good chance to win. And no matter what, 2024 will revolve around him, because so much rests on, is Trump capable to run? Is Trump allowed to run? And what happens when he does run? And is Trump capable of winning? Because you're going to have the Democrats are going to have an issue turning on their political machine in the same way they've turned it on back in 2020. It was easy for them in 2020 because they could go see that random black guy in an apartment and say, "Sir, have you voted through the mail? Have you voted? Here's the checkbox to vote for Biden." It's going to be much harder to have this kind of vote collecting process in a world that where Trump is more like in the past. The anger against him is less. His presence in the media has been basically barred by CNN. CNN has realized that by covering Trump, they're giving him too much attention and too much chance to win. So now they're going full censorship on him, but we will have Trump elevate himself as a martyr in 2024. There's already enough prosecution against him to make the argument solidly to the American people that he's a martyr. And the American people is totally has it in them to vote for a martyr and to say fuck you to the system by saying, if you go after people like this, we will recalibrate the world by bringing them back. So an excellent chance to win for Trump that is not necessarily to be celebrated on the right, because Trump has demonstrated his inability to do much as a president. I think that he does a good job on immigration, but we're talking about illegal immigration mostly. He's not even into the domain of reviewing legal immigration. He's not even beginning to revert the demographic trends of America. So in a way, you know, keeping the illegal migrants out, if anything, without care for the demographic stability of America, it is a decelerationist measure. If white people are going to become a minority no matter what, I don't want a Band-Aid to be put on this injury. I want the injury to be glowing in its full glory so that people see it quicker and so that people prepare for it quicker. Trump, in that context, is a bad Band-Aid. He does not fix the demographic problem of America. He did a very good job at choosing Supreme Court justices that will stand by state individualism and state liberty from each other. That was a good shot. The work against illegal migration was a good shot, but not the one against legal migration. So we end up with a Trump for the next 4 years would probably bring a slight up to the economy, a slight reduction of red tape law expectations, and a little more freedom for the market, but we would still be headed, ultimately, we would have to be headed toward a depression, and we would have to be headed toward a state of America that will not improve on the side of demographics. Dead Star says, I've said this before, but Atlanta, Detroit, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Milwaukee, the five cities that stand between Trump and the White House, and not a single step has been taken to lessen the powers of these political machines. Absolutely. Very important what's happening. We have a... And this goes with my next prediction. We will see a continuation of the slow trend of the loss of competence and the competency crisis, the standards crisis. And I believe that what you described there, the corrupt political centers of America that center around black populations, basically allowing Democrat president to be elected, this is part of the standards crisis, in my view, where we have the Supreme Court has basically said, this state can commit fraud. This state cannot complain because it's none of their business if this state commits fraud. Basically arguing that the Constitution, by giving the right to states to determine the means and methods of election, means and time of election, that it was giving a carte blanche to states to do whatever they want. But I believe that if there was a legitimate case of election fraud, it would be the right of the other states to say, hey, the fraud that's happening in California is diluting the legitimate votes that we have. And it should totally be allowed for states to sue other states in the Supreme Court. But that was denied back in the days, and that is a very sad thing. That is part of the corruption and slow decay of American standards, and we will see more of this in 2024, although we won't necessarily see spectacular events from it. It's just going to be more grinding. Everything will be more difficult. Everything will come with a little more accident, a little less productivity. And we're going to continue on this trend. Trump warns that a market crash in 1929 style, Great Depression, if he doesn't win. Former President Donald Trump predicted Friday that if he doesn't win the 2024 presidential election, America will suffer the biggest stock market crash in history, followed by another Great Depression style event. I would agree with this prediction, but it wouldn't have to happen in 2024. And my evaluation is that Trump can merely delay such an event. That depression could happen after the Bitcoin bull run if Biden is elected, and it could happen maybe 1 or 2 years later if Trump is elected. But Trump merely deceives the American economy into levels of excitement that are not warranted. That deception is what the car salesman do. And sometimes the car salesman with his bullshit will make you have a better experience of the car. Like sometimes the car salesman telling you how great the seats, the leather seats are, will make you feel the leather seats better. And perhaps you will pay attention to the comfort of the car in ways that you wouldn't have otherwise. But it's mostly bullshit, and Trump's contribution to American economy is mostly bullshit. It's mostly people self-convincing that under Trump things will be okay. And it's a self-inducing prophecy in the sense that the fact that Trump deceives people effectively in thinking that makes it happen. But I don't see what can keep this American economy going with constantly inflating values, inflating prices. The real estate market is hyperinflated. All of this is looking for a crash, asking for a crash. And on top of it, it's like the credit crisis in America has never quite happened the way it should happen, which is people are way too much in debt. Now you have, on top of it, you have the Bitcoin parallel economy rising, where some people are in debt in the normie economy, and yet they're accumulating Bitcoin. What's going to happen with this? At some point, something's got to give, and the credit system cannot keep going that way unless they are supported by massive inflation that makes their debt, that makes the debt of the people meaningless. And that is another problem of the fundamental structure of the American economy, is that because people are so much in debt, everyone really has a vested interest in a continued inflationary system. So it's not just the elite that want to print money. It's everyone who are dependent. Everyone is dependent on monetary expansion because they're all on these constant payment every month of mortgages and crap like this, where their life is unsustainable if anything happens in a way that they hadn't predicted. We are going to see collisions all over the planet. Pushback against tyranny and control will accelerate in 2024. Our top story of 2023 is the year of the pushback. It was so long and it was so big, we had to make a special page and move the other 19 top story to a whole different section on another page. 2023 was massive, documented pushback to tyranny and controlled by the evil deep state globalist. I agree with this reading, and I believe that 2024, just like this reading suggests, I agree that 2024 we will see a continuation of the liberation from tyranny. We will see Elon Musk being more and more successful with X Freedom. We will see a backing out of censorship on other platforms because they will learn by example that they have to liberate their standards to be more like Elon, be more like the successful platform of X. And I don't see COVID authoritarianism coming back right now. It will come back in a cycle in maybe a decade or two from now. But for now, the forces of medical fascism have been totally defeated, and they're not coming back soon. They will have to wait for a generation of more naive and ignorant fascists to convince. So on the side of liberty, 2024 will be good no matter what happens. No matter whether Trump wins or Biden wins, no matter what happens with the war. I don't think that the war efforts in the Middle East will come to such an extent that conscription is needed. So I believe that in our civilized nation, anyways, the people that you could conscript are too fat. They would be terrible at fighting. And with the technologies that we have at this point, we may not ever need to conscript again, because we might have little wars, airstrikes, missiles, and then specialized professional classes of army, and then we may make the transition very soon to robots, basically. So within this lens, there may be no place for conscripted war until the robot takeover and the complete fall of technological society. So I don't think that 2024, that the war effort will result in authoritarianism, although you may have to begin to have the calls for unity. You may have this, you're either with us or you're against us type of attitude, but it will not result in takeover of rights and, you know, massively just conscripting or forcing people into war. John Drake says, I don't think conscription would fly these days. Yeah, they barely can find the support for their wars just from a domestic perspective, you know, getting the You know how the classic illustration of a 1940 woman who's at home, but she's contributing to the war effort by baking cakes for the soldiers or whatever. They can't get that going. And they might have difficulty getting that going ever again, because they don't control the media anymore. And the whole liberation of X here plays totally against the warmongers. We have a documentation of civilian casualties, a documentation of people suffering, and perspectives being able to express themselves on the internet, and that is shaking the pillars of power in a way that will certainly matter even more as we get into 2024. So I think that is, those are the subjects I wanted to cover for predictions. We've heard that there was Red Sea chaos today. You know, the Mark's ship that I said were being escorted by U.S. forces. Well, the escort didn't result in safety because they were still hit by a missile. As a response, U.S. attack helicopters annihilated Houthi rebel boats. So apparently this was an attack by boat. And despite the fact that they were under military escort, it was one of the largest shipping companies in the world, and they were under U.S. military escort. They still shot missiles at it, but as a result, we have Houthi boats that have been blown up by the American army. I believe that this whole Red Sea passage is going to start to matter a lot as we get in 2024. Because it's really the configuration of the world relies on this place. Whether China exports toward Europe, whether all of these Asian countries can send their stuff toward Europe, is highly contingent on this passage, at least for the ship, for the maritime transport domain. So this will start to matter. Perhaps one of the possible surprises of 2024 is China. And whether China looks at all this trouble that's stemming around the world and says, hey, this is a good moment. America is busy on the Ukraine front. America is busy on the Israel front. America is busy in the maritime defense of the Red Sea. This may be the best moment that China ever gets to start being aggressive, conquering, and perhaps take Taiwan if they want. I believe that's one of the possible big surprises, an aggressive China going for it in 2024. That seems a little early historically for me to see China doing it, but it's totally within the space of possibilities. Naberius sends $25. He says, Happy New Year. Well, thank you so much for the support. Go Away says, JF predicts that China is going to release another bioweapon. No, I don't think... I've never really subscribed to the hypothesis that China intentionally released COVID as a bioweapon. I've never really believed in that. So to say that they would do it again is very, it's a loaded phrasing. Anon says, America couldn't handle a land war against Russia right now. I mean, as far, they can't. That's why they're losing Ukraine. And so Ukraine is the demonstration that America doesn't have much to show for its allies. And you cannot doubt that America is an ally to Ukraine. It's very documented. The politicians are in the bed with Zelensky. The money flow is there. The logistic support and even intel support is there. And yet, Ukraine cannot defend against a Russian invasion. So that matters a lot. It's a demonstration of weakness. the American army still is very strong. The American deterrence power in huge missiles certainly is very strong. But you can see that the actual war that's developing across this planet is not a war in which you would blow up a city with nuclear weapons. It's all technical and it's all at the detail level, and it's all a little too tiring and a little too exhausting for the American army to truly engage in. So they have to use proxies, and the proxies turn out to be less competent, less equipped, and to have less morale than you would expect for winning conditions to happen. Dead Star says, JF, the whole Taiwan invasion makes no sense. Invasion will only pressure the US to cut off China trade. They own us already. What do they gain? Yeah, which is why I say it's a little early in history for China to want to be expansionary. I just don't think that it's in their interest, but you never know the computation that goes on in terms of, hey, just like Israel, I believe it's very early in history for Israel to care about dominating over Gaza. But here's the computation that goes on in Benjamin Netanyahu's head. I just got attacked on October 7th. I can make a mediatic campaign that makes it look like it's the next 9/11. It's really there's more Jews that have died proportionally than 9/11. And it may be my last generation where the American public is boomer enough to support me. So when this kind of calculation presses you into a direction, you never know. A similar computation could happen in the head of the Chinese powers. They could be like, okay, America's very busy. They've just demonstrated their incapacity. There's a schism in the Democrat Party on warmongering, and the American public is already annoyed at the existing war, let alone getting in a new one. And perhaps there is local conditions in China that would make a war of conquering and domination a feasible thing short term. So if these computations go on, you never know. Things can happen more quick than you would expect them to be reasonably justified. Large Israeli airstrikes on southern Lebanon. U.S. warplanes hit Iraq-Syria border in escalation. Yeah, I think we're going to see more and more of this because you have an Israeli aggression here that is bigger than it's been for a long time. We are seeing here bloodthirsty Jews. And it's been a while since we haven't seen them so bloodthirsty. And they're going to want to expand into many countries, perhaps take over a part of Syria, perhaps even control to some extent some part of Lebanon. They haven't asked the American army again and again to be softening these regions through grueling, continued war over decades if they didn't have a plan. And you'll see this plan unfold in its full glory, if not in 2024, certainly in the next 5 to 10 years. On the side of domestic power, Biden admin threatens to sue Texas if the state arrests and deport migrants. So I don't know to which extent we will see much, but the tension will certainly increase in 2024 for federal power to exert control over right-wing states. There will be if the Democrats are wanting to uniformize the legal system across America so that there's not an exodus effect where, okay, it's like we're taxing our population so hard in California, all they have to do is move to Texas and then they get no income tax. You're going to have the Democrats trying to find more clever ways and creative ways to force their laws onto non-democrat states. They're going to try to win subversive wars at the local level to elevate red tape and democrat wins locally everywhere they can in these right-wing states, because they will understand eventually that no matter how hard you want to go against your own population, if they can escape, your state will be nothing. Your state will only be parasitized by people who are dependent on you when all the talented people get away. Anon says, if the left wins the next U.S. Civil War, history books will say that it was about trans rights. Oh yeah, I can totally see something like this, a narrative around trans genocide, and I can totally see them justifying an imperialistic approach within America to go save the trans LGBTs of Austin, Texas. Absolutely. Absolutely. What else do we have before we conclude the show? Incompetence as consequences. Well, I've already commented on this. We will pay the price in 2024 for constantly lowering our standards at employment to the point where our corporations have filled themselves with useless employees that are just standing to count in the official counts of the company diversity sheet. You're going to have to pay a price for this. At some point, it has to be that your heart surgery goes wrong. At some point, if you're like diversifying the hospital employment, at some point you end up dying from it. Go away, says JF. They could just scrap state tax nationwide by force, or simply by raising federal tax until state tax becomes untenable. We don't have state tax here in Australia. We only pay federal income tax. Well, yeah, and that is one path. But I don't know that it's feasible short term. But that is one path that it can take. Yes, the federal government can constantly increase, lowering the power of the states until it's meaningless. Asferia says, hey JF, if the housing market crashes, by what percentage do you suspect it will fall? How much does a $1 million house cost at the bottom of the recession curve? Unfortunately, I think that there will be a recession, but it will be bottomed out relatively quickly by a Fed and a system of rescues coming from the government. So a house that you would pay today $1 million, I think will bottom out even in a recession scenario at $400,000 or $500,000. I mean, it's worth it. It's me eyeing the phenomenon, having seen it before in housing market crashes. I think you're going to get a drop in the area of 40 to 50% of current value. And then it's going to go back up forever, because the system is not learning from its mistakes. It's not we're not stopping the dependence of the whole system onto inflation. That will keep coming. Saturn Shines is asking, when's the second coming? The second coming of the Christ. I was about to Google the theory of the fourth turning, you know, but no, you're talking about coming. So not a turning, but a coming, the second coming of the Christ. I don't know. I don't believe in supernatural powers. So I don't believe that Jesus Christ was sent by God. But there might be resurging historical events, such as the idea of someone being for peace, someone being against exploitation in a world of lies and exploitation. And that was very much what Jesus Christ did. And you may have the rise of personalities that that fit this pattern. In a world of lies, someone rising and turning the tables can exist and show up. And perhaps you would be willing to consider that this is a second coming. John Drake says, smart states would load up on BTC and issue bonds based on it. This will harden them to federal overreach. Oh yeah, that is the one thing that I was forgetting that I wanted to predict on. It will be the year of Bitcoin. It will be the most spectacular year ever for Bitcoin. You have no idea the irrational run that you're about to see on Bitcoin. You have never seen this before in history, because in history, you have never had something that was not copyable, not printable, not expendable, and not mineable above a certain finite limit. And so mathematically, the run for Bitcoin of 2024 has to be the greatest economic event to ever happen in human civilization. Frederick von Finkel says, JF, have you considered collecting gold bullion? Since money is fake now, you can exchange it for gold bars. Bitcoin plus gold seems a smart combo. Yeah, but you lose your gold, you're done. So you're going to take the gold physically onto you. It won't last 7 days in the hood. I need to survive in the hood. I'm a street philosopher. Happy New Year, by the way. Much love, everyone. Well, we have a late super chat that came in. Real Tony Soprano says, Have you thought about getting out of Canada/USA area and spending time overseas? You can live well in many places in Southeast Asia, the Baltics, and Greece. I feel like it's a good idea given the direction of the US and Canada. Well, personally, I don't want to spend time anywhere. I want to live in a place permanently. I'm a fundamentally sedentary white man. I'm about having my castle, living in my castle, sitting on my throne, and enjoying the stability of my life. And it doesn't cross my mind to go into these places where, sure, I could be happy maybe in Asia for a year. But then the immigration system, and then the idea of bringing my wealth in Asia and buying a house in Asia, all of this is extremely complicated. And ultimately would submit myself to a system that has less rights. I would lose rights. In Greece, it's not a funny place to live in Greece. I wouldn't want to be living under the Greece system and have all of the local conflicts and the high taxes and the corrupted state all determine whether I have rights tomorrow or not. I'm not interested in this. I do believe personally that USA and Canada are good places to be if you choose your state and place. He says, have a happy new year too. Thanks to your support, everyone, and we'll keep going with JFG tonight, all 2024 and 2025, and in fact, I'll still be here in 2030 and hopefully 2040.